Hey, what's happening? What's going on out in Sharkland? Hello, this is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. It's summer now. A lot of people go to the beaches. They always ask, is it safe to swim here? What do I have to look for? On the other hand, of course, people go elsewhere, not really a populated beach, more into a channel, canal, and there is the same question, is it safe? Well, overall, it's safe anywhere where you go in the water, because sharks, they are not out there to bite us, so bites, you know, we have on a very, very, very rare occasion, and I cannot highlight enough, sharks are the most harmless top and super predators on our planet, over 50 kilo, over 110 pounds. Millions of people go swimming, bathing, surfing every day of the year. And we have 60, 80, maybe 100 incidents with sharks. So this is really nothing. But still, people are most of the time afraid. They don't want to see a shark. So how do we quantify and qualify an area to go swimming or not? Well, first of all, go for visibility. If the visibility is down, don't go in there, because you will not, I repeat, you will not see any shark, except sharks may be very close and right below the surface. But if you're a swimmer, you already have a hard time to see anything. So if the visibility is down, don't swim there. If you're a swimmer going to a beach, how to decide if the visibility is good or not? Look down. If you cannot see the bottom, the white sandy bottom, don't swim there. If you feel comfortable, by all means, but if you do not see the bottom, do not go and swim there. And it does not matter if you have a lifeguard on duty. The lifeguard won't see a shark either. That doesn't mean when a shark shows up, it actually will just move on to into you. No, by all means, but possible is, or the possibility, that if you see a shark, you get too nervous, and this nervousness, this arrhythmical sound patterns, is then what a shark lures in further. So try to remain comfortable, and that goes by actually being able to see what goes on below you. One area we always should make a big circle around, and of course hardly possible, are sandbars. Sandbars is probably what really triggers us to go in the water, because they're normally very shallow, and you sit there, you hang out there, and it's really nice. Most of the time, it is really nothing to worry about. Again, if you can see the bottom, look around you. Do you see fish swimming around? If all of a sudden it changes, well, then, by all means, start withdrawing, even if you don't see a shark. Should these fish all of a sudden like accumulate around your legs, then you know a bigger predator is out there. Could be a barracuda, could be a dolphin, and could be a shark. So just being on a sandbar does not really mean anything, except look around to make you feel safe. There's another problem with sandbars. Sandbars are very attractive to surfers, because this is where the wave actually then crashes. It is where the surfer found their waves. So, of course, whenever a wave crashes, of course, there is an accumulated oxygen in the water, which is very interesting to some of these shark species, mainly those who constantly have to swim. So, let's say a white shark is one of these species, mainly in South Africa, of course, and the sharks hang out in the breakers. So, a white shark doesn't have to swim that fast anymore, or even not swim at all for a while, but still gets enough oxygen. Not all the shark species that we have out there can actually pump water through their gills. Some of them have to what it's called a ram ventilation. They have to swim into the current or swim with the current, but of course then faster. So they have to get all the water over their gill slits. If you have, let's say, white tip reef sharks, nurse sharks, they just lay in the bottom and they pump water through their gills. So pay attention. I'm not saying that whenever there's a breaking wave, there will be a shark rolling around in the surf. Of course not, but it may happen. An area where we have to be a little more careful, of course, are around rocks. On one side, chances are you have a current, so it pushes you into the rocks. It's kind of dangerous. At the same token, sharks may swim there as well, maybe because of the enriched oxygen in the water, maybe because of the food fishes close by, because you always have these little whirls that trap plankton. So around rocks, you do have a lot of food. So chances are you do have a shark. So me, I personally don't really like to swim there. And not so much because I don't see anything, because the visibility is down in these areas. But because of these rocks, I just don't like to be pushed towards these rocks. But again, if you are really comfortable as a swimmer, as a snorkeler, yeah, you can hang out there. But pay attention where the current goes so that you don't be pushed into these rocks. Then, of course, we have the fishing pier. Fishing pier is probably the most attractive area for any shark. Yeah, because people fish. And what happens when a person fishes, of course, he hooks a fish and the fish releases stress hormones, feces, scales, you name it. And that is carried down with the current. So if a shark picks out a stress hormone, he will get excited. And chances are the shark will then swim against current. Should you be in the same waters where the shark actually will come to and you splash around, chances are you even sound like a struggling fish. So a shark picks up the odor source or tries to find the odor source, and then he actually picks up something that sounds like what he assumes must be up there. So even if you don't look like it, you sound like it, you smell like it, chances are the shark will further explore you. I tried different times here in Florida to change the law on fishing piers. Not a fishing pier per se, but limit when people are allowed to fish. So what I tried to submit was a proposal that we should allow fishing till about 10 o'clock and starting up at 6 o'clock. Of course, I got rejected and people just said, well, we cannot restrict fishermen. So I tried the other way around, said, okay, if we have fishing going on, we should swimming, bathing only allow up current of the fishing pier. Well, I failed here as well because we would limit the beachgoer. So one way or the other, we have to get restrictions because Florida still has the most bites worldwide, and some of them, or big amount of them, are related directly or indirectly to these fishing piers. So if a fishing pier is there, do me a favor and go swimming up current. Piers, structures, bridges, this is all connected. Have you ever wondered why in the Florida Keys we always see the big sharks, bull sharks, great hammerheads close to bridges? The reason is simple. These pillars, these that stand in the water, they divide the current. So on one side you have the current hitting the pillar. On the other side you have like whirls behind the pillar who trap plankton again. So this, of course, brings in the larger fish, and at the very end you have sharks. So stay away from fishing piers, stay away from bridges. And for example, also stay away from wrecks. I understand wreck is in a very attractive area. So, okay, look, we're on a vacation, let's swim out there. But whenever there's a wreck, you change the local current situation. You have the hitting area, and then you have the current free area, which a lot of whirls, and you have a lot of plankton trapped. And of course, again, then you have the food fish, and at the end, chances are you may have a shark. Another area that you actually should avoid, if you can, are channels or canals. Some of these channels are connection between, let's say, a lagoon and the open water. Other are the entrances to a harbor. Well, if a harbor is close by, problem is most likely you're going to have a lot of food in these canals. Why? Because still, very often, people come back from boating, they don't really want to put all the trash in the bin, and since it's just food waste, they just throw it overboard, which of course then brings in smaller animals, crabs, bigger animals, and at the very end, chances are you have a shark. At the same token, you have a problem with currents again. Currents can happen just because you have tides, you have also tidal currents, and they can be stronger, less strong, but whenever you have a current, keep in mind, it's sometimes hard to maintain your position in the current, and it can happen if a shark shows up with the current, he is on you much, much quicker. So if you can avoid it, do not go swimming anywhere where you feel the current is too strong. And of course, there are some areas on the beach where lifeguards warn you, where you have, let's say, undercurrents and such, and you always want to stay away from them. I know this is quite a bit, a lot to look for when you go swimming and hanging out at a beach, and you don't really want to do it. You want to have fun. I understand that. And most of the time, a shark will not even come close. The more people in the water, the louder the sound. It seems to have a repelling effect. But then again, there's always the exception to the rule. So most importantly, if you cannot see the bottom, stay away from the area. Of course, if you go swim out there a few hundred meters out there where it's too deep to see the bottom as well, I understand the rule then would not apply. But what I really would highlight at this here is whenever you're close to shore, this is what we call a two-dimensional area, meaning the shark in the water column cannot move freely because the water is not deep enough. Remember when we talked about inner circle and the radius, I said it was two body lengths of a shark. So if the area is more shallow than four body lengths, which actually the inner circle would fit right in it, then a shark may be limited in its escape routes. So the more space a shark has, even in a vertical manner, the better it is. So if you have an area that is for an average shark not deep enough for body length, then you know we have a two-dimensional area. Of course, if it's more, then we know the shark has more ways to escape should the situation occur. Of course, then what we haven't discussed yet is surfing. Surfing is really something very special when it comes down to sharks. Of course, on one side, the surfer hangs out at the surface. And in a shark's world, nothing that is healthy hangs out at the surface too long. And the sounds the surfer produces. But then, of course, the surfer surfs where we have breaking waves. And, well, these are sandbars most of the time. So, and sometimes to be close to seal hole outs. And I would like to discuss it in another episode even more so, because I would like to go into this mistaken identity theory where a shark, a white shark, supposedly mistakes a surfer for a seal, which of course does not happen. But tune in on another show where we go into surfing and incidents with sharks. I understand all these recommendations of what to look for can be a little overwhelming, but bottom line is, if you use common sense, then you actually are in pretty good shape. We have PDFs to download from our websites. You can go on sharkschool.com, or you can send me a note at Let's Talk Shark, and I send you a complete PDF, what to look for, where to swim, where not to swim, where to do, what not to do, and all these things. But keep in mind, shark bites are very, very rare, and chances are, no matter where you go, most likely you will not even see a shark. And if a shark shows up, well, try to stay calm, wait till it continues on its way, whatever it's doing, and you will be just fine. That's it for today. Tune in again for another podcast of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day. And if you meet a shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege.